As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's time to save. The Firestone Black Friday and Cyber Monday sale is on. Get 15% off all tires and $40 off a lifetime wheel alignment when you buy two or more eligible tires. Visit FirestoneCompleteAutoCare.com for details and more deals.
W-T-L.
It's
time!
W-T-L.
I think we got a show.
Oh yeah, we got a show.
W-T-L.
And welcome back, everybody, to WTL, Where's the Line? Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm your host, Andy Klassen, joined by
Jabron.
The Parlay Pounder.
You got it. We're back.
Yes, we are. And we've been working our way through the NFL divisions, divisional favorites, and just kind of looking at each team in each and every division.
For sure.
We still got to get to the NFC West.
Yeah, some juggernauts in this one for sure. So, well, at least one.
Well, yeah. And, you know, that juggernaut I think we're alluding to is San Francisco. But, you know, I think they need maybe the number one position kind of sewn up, the quarterback, and we'll get into
that. We'll get into that.
But let's, like we've been doing, kind of a trend we've been doing is we'll start at the bottom of the division and we'll work our way up as far as divisional winners, odds to win the division, and, you know, so we have some over-under props as far as win totals, things of that nature as well. And bringing up the rear here in the NFC West, no surprise, the Arizona Cardinals. Odds to win the NFC West, plus 2,500. That tells you a lot that they're probably not in the driver's seat to be a contender this year.
Yeah, for sure, Andy. And, you know, at the Cardinals' outlook right now is they thought they drafted their franchise-changing quarterbacks a few years ago in Kyler Murray, you know, with the first overall pick. Inconsistent seasons have plagued Arizona since then, going 28-37 ever since, you know, getting Kyler Murray. Yeah. He also missed the end of the season last year with an ACL tear, which, you know, and isn't expected to return till week five this year at the earliest. So that's kind of why, you know, that is such a huge, you know, line for him at plus 2,500. Their over-under wins, on the other hand, are at 4.5 wins, Andy, which is really bad. But if you kind of look at the way that the Cardinals, you know, mapped out their offseason with losing veteran pass rusher J.J. Watt, star safety Buda Baker once out of Arizona, wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins was released. It's just a barn sale all across Arizona Cardinal Nation. Yep. So, and, you know, they got a brand new coach and all that kind of stuff. So I believe he inherits a pretty undesirable roster here, Andy, and is just going to, you know, spend the year searching for pieces to plug in here and there. The Cardinals have theirs in Houston Texans first round picks in 2024. So that might be enough to, you know, keep the fans' spirits alive, but there's not a lot going for these guys this year.
You know, last year they did have those pieces and their quarterback was on, their quarterback played most of the season, but he had his coach who was on the hot seat. And then he was out the door.
Yeah.
That, you can say that experiment didn't work.
It did.
The college style quarterback with a college coach.
Yeah.
Nope, not that.
Usually doesn't work.
And, you know, they won four games last year, and that was with all those pieces. Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, J.J. Watt coming off the edge. And they only won four games last year.
Yeah, exactly, Andy. And like you just said, they had all those pieces, It's not looking good for them this year. I don't foresee that. They could get five wins, but I'm not putting any money on it.
You're not putting your faith in Colt McCoy?
I'm not.
I don't know why that's my Colt McCoy voice ever since
just
you played for Texas.
Because we're from Nebraska. Yeah.
But it looks like he's going to be the starter, or maybe Jeff Driscoll. They haven't even sorted that out yet.
Yeah.
Hey, that's why I have the preseason, right?
But if you want the Cardinals have optimism in them, they're at a whopping plus 20,000 to win the Super Bowl. So if you're on them to win the Super Bowl, you got some good odds there.
I don't think so. All right, let's move on up the list. The Los Angeles Rams, not too long ago, they were the Super Bowl champs.
Yeah.
Now they're a plus 800 just to win the division. What's going on here? Matt Stafford's back. He looks healthy. Mm-hmm. Aaron Donald's back in the fold.
Cooper Kupp's back.
Yeah, he missed 8 games last year, right? Now he's back. He should be healthy.
Well, it just good times don't last forever, Andy. And, you know, ask the Rams. They won the NFL Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And they did what they needed to do to win that Super Bowl. They got to it twice, won it once, and every franchise in the NFL would do exactly what the Rams did to do this. But, you know, their once elite defense is now gutted. They don't have Jalen Ramsey. They don't have Von Miller. They don't have Bobby Wagner. With no running game this year and a bad line and a deteriorating defense, a lot of LA seasons will depend on the guys you just said, Stafford and Kupp, how far they can carry him, and assuming that they both stay healthy.
And that's a pretty good tandem there, but yeah, stay healthy. Can Cooper Kupp stay healthy? And Matt Stafford, he's not a run-around, elusive guy. You know, he's your prototypical step-back passer. So, if he doesn't have a line in front of him, which he did when they went on that Super Bowl run, Whitmore and all those guys, were phenomenal. That they do not have that this year.
Their roster was gutted, and they sacrificed their draft capital to bring in rentals during the Super Bowl era. That's the way you do it, though, when you've got a chance, when you have the big guns. You do that.
Do you think they could still get to 6.5 wins? Because that's where this line is set as far as season totals, 6.5.
It's really tough, Andy, for me.
Went 5-12 last year, I think.
They did go 5-12 last year, but really what scares me is they went 3-6 when Stafford was still on the field. So and they still had a lot of that makeup from the year before. And
Baker
they
won one of those games.
I'm saying just 3-6 just with Stafford. I mean, Baker came in at the end and won 3 games, obviously. Regardless of what else, I just don't believe that this team has what it takes. I really do believe that McVay and Stafford and Kupp are just holding on to something that's not there, and I think this is the last year for all three of them in Los Angeles.
Yeah, and McVay says some zany things, you know, and you wonder where his head's at sometimes. But then he'll come back and he'll say the complete opposite a day later.
Well, I thought he was out on the rebuild, and then he got back in on it. So I don't know. I do believe this is the last year for Stafford and Kupp, just because Kupp's going to sign a huge deal, and Stafford probably going to retire.
Yep. I think you're right about that, and I think they belong in that three hole, and that's probably where they'll be regardless.
Yeah.
Let's move on up the ladder then.
Yeah.
This is an interesting team.
This is
a breakout team from last year. A lot of people weren't expecting much from the Seahawks after they traded away Russell Wilson, and then insert Geno Smith. I was shocked with the type of season Geno Smith, especially those first 6, 7, 8 games.
Yeah.
They're at a plus 200 to win the division right now. Jabron, where are you at with the Seahawks?
This is your only value play in this whole thing that we're talking about, Andy, is the Seattle Seahawks at a plus 200.
Yeah.
Like you said, Geno Smith came in and just had a phenomenal year last year. Comeback player of the year. Deserves a lot of credit for Seattle's offense churning into what it was last year. Saying that, last year, Seattle Seahawks defense was just dismal. Lack of stops on defense.
Shocking.
The
shocking.
Seahawks surrendered the 8th most points and the 7th most yards per game last season. That's the reason they kind of didn't win a lot of games, couldn't hold people down the stretch. Seattle addressed those concerns by signing Bobby Wagner, Pro Football Focus's top graded linebacker in 2022, and drafting Devon Witherspoon with the 5th pick to partner with Tyreek Woolen. So that's a nice young corners that they have and an anchoring best linebacker in the game. So they did what they could to put a Band-Aid on that, hoping that Geno will have another run at this. So I do like their players. They do have a good group of players here, skill positions and all that kind of stuff. I still don't see him taking down the 49ers.
I don't either. And I also They won eight games. They won nine games last year. They went 9-8 last year. That's why that over-under is set at 8.5 this year.
For sure.
I'm not... I think they should get to 9 wins. Yeah. I really do, but I also think you're going to see a regression from Geno Smith. I think you can also just look at his first 7 games last year compared to his last 7 games last year, and those are just like you flipped the stat sheet around.
Yeah.
The tape caught up to him.
The stretch against tougher, defenses tighten up, all that kind of stuff. I will give you a key reason that they are going to hit this over on the 8.5 wins, Andy. The Seahawks have the 10th easiest strength of schedule all in 2023. They also went 4-0 against the Rams and the Cardinals last year. Obviously went 0-2 against the 49ers, but that's 4 wins that I believe that they're going to pick up again. So they're already halfway there playing these lower tier teams in this division.
Well, I was already leaning towards the over. Now I'm there.
Now you're locked get there. In.
Let's move on up to the front runners here. The San Francisco 49ers. They're at a -165 to win the NFC West. I think they'll do that, but that question mark at quarterback scares the heck out of me.
Yeah. Like you said, Andy, unfortunately, last year got to that NFC title game. They were rolling. Brock Purdy hits his funny bone or, you know, whatever happened. Brought in Josh Johnson. He got hurt. Christian McCaffrey's taking snaps.
Yeah, you know, it was weird.
It was just weird. You hate for a team that's as good as the San Francisco 49ers to be down to their fourth quarterback, he get injured, and then, you know, you're a game away from the Super Bowl and there's nothing really you can do. Saying that, Andy, this is one of the best teams in the NFL, Andy.
Oh, yeah.
I believe that they will win this division outright by a few games, and this over-under 10.5 wins is just a joke. The Niners have won double-digit games and reached the conference title game in 3 of their last 4 seasons. Mm-hmm. It's Super Bowl or bust for the 49ers, Andy. A simple 10.5 win should be an afterthought for this team, and the over's hitting. The over's hitting.
I mean, Trey Lance, is he going to be the guy? They brought in Sam Darnold. You might see him start the beginning of the season. And I think everybody in and around San Francisco wants to see Brock Purdy healthy. They just want to see that. Give that guy a shot.
Mr. Irrelevant.
Yeah, see what can happen there. But it's the playmakers around him. You mentioned Christian McCaffrey, Debo Samuel.
Brandon Ayuk.
Oh, my gosh. Shanahan adds so many elements.
George Kittle.
Yeah, you can't contain it. You can't contain it.
You really can't.
You just need a trigger man that's capable. And I don't know if Trey Lance is that guy. I think Brock Purdy could be. Sam Darnold has flashed in the past, and he probably will be serviceable enough for them to at least win the West, and as you say, probably reach that 10.5 win total.
Yeah, exactly. Purdy is expected to return to the field right around the time the season starts, so it's kind of up in the air, like you said. He may not be immediately ready to hop into live action. Former third overall pick, like you said, Trey Lance started the season last year and may do the same, but I think it's a juggling act right now. Obviously, Brock Purdy is their guy, though, going into this season.
Yeah. He just got to stay healthy. Like we're saying, all these quarterbacks, you got to stay healthy.
You got to stay healthy.
You heard the horn. That means we're up against it. So let's take a minute to recognize one of our fabulous partners, and that is the Nebraska Brewing Company. We've been enjoying the smooth, easy-drinking Ale Storm, the official beer of Omaha's AAA baseball team. Crafted with Pilsner malt and Sterling hops, making it the perfect summer baseball beer. Don't go anywhere, folks. This is WTL. Welcome back, everybody, to WTL. Where's the line? Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm your host, Andy Klass, and joined by
Jabron.
Oh, the parlay pounder.
You got it.
And you know what? You could say football is back.
It's back.
We already had the Pro Bowl game.
Yeah, the Hall of Fame game.
Yep. And now, today, we are starting with some preseason games here. And guess what?
Full slate.
They're putting out betting lines.
Yeah, so we are back.
So we are talking about these betting lines, and let's go with the Minnesota Vikings heading on out to Seattle to take on the Seahawks. Seahawks, I'm seeing them anywhere from 2.5 point favorites all the way up to a 4 point favorite, depending on where you're looking.
Yeah,
but it's pretty consistent. 30.5 is your over under. Jabron, there's so many question marks when in these preseason games. Who's playing? Who's not? What's the quarterback?
Yeah.
How many snaps are they going to get? What are your initial thoughts on this Seattle by 3.5?
Yeah, like you said, Andy, the most important position in the sport of football is the quarterback.
Yeah.
With the starters likely not playing at all or very minimal in this game, you know, Geno Smith and Kirk Cousins.
Right.
What I'm thinking in this is you got to look at those first backup quarterbacks because they're going to play a lot of this game because these NFL teams are looking at who is going to back up Kirk Cousins and Geno Smith. Yep. And that is what the race is for. And these guys, unlike the starters, want the snaps in these games. So your primary backups are Nick Mullins for Minnesota and Drew Lock for Seattle.
Okay.
These are two guys who have had their fair share of NFL experience.
Yep.
Mullins with the 49ers. Drew Lock was a high draft pick for the Denver Broncos, if you remember.
Yep.
Each appearing in 24 games throughout their career. The quarterback's behind.
Mullins did pretty good for the 49ers, but was that more of their defense and once again the running game?
Yeah, it's more of a, you know, that's the system in San Francisco. Like we just said in our last segment, they've been to the NFC Championship 3 out of the last 4 years, so pretty tough to not be good there. What I really like to see in this game, Andy, is that there is going to be a lot of young playmakers in this trying to score a lot of points.
Yeah.
So my best bet is that over 35 points because I just think they're going to be throwing a lot of young guys, a lot of rookies out there that are going to be able to score points. And with these two guys at the quarterback, the guys that have been in the NFL, know how it goes, know the speed, all that kind of stuff, I think they're going to be a lot of points scored in this game. So that over 35 is my best bet of this game.
Yeah, those veterans are going to carve up these rookies trying to make teams.
No doubt about it.
And on purpose, a lot of the defensive coordinators put them in man-to-man situations. See if you can make it or not.
Can you handle it? Yep. Because it's nothing like, teams like, the old, like Patriots and the old Broncos, teams that have been, dynasties in the last, 10 to 15 years, they don't care about these games. They will lose all four of them preseason just to get their roster the way that they want to. So the only thing I feel confident in this game is that over at 35, Andy.
Yeah.
If I had to lean away, obviously I think I would lean towards the Seattle Seahawks winning the game. Mm-hmm. I don't know about that spread, though.
Just kind of placating to the crowd, having fun with it. Yeah, 3.5 is, and 4 has really started to develop here. Get me away from that.
Yeah, 3.5 is pretty tough. 4 is even harder. The -175 money line is maybe where you want to look if you're on the Seahawks. If you're on the Vikings, take the points.
All right, now another game that's going to be on the NFL Network that we're looking at here. The Green Bay Packers heading out to Cincinnati, Ohio. This line opened up at 1.5. Green Bay as your favorite.
Yeah.
Now it's moved all the way up to 4.5, 5, depending. Westgate just came out with 5 as Green Bay your favorites. What is going on here?
Well, a lot of it goes to show you, Andy, which team is built already and what team is trying to get on the right track and trying to build their season in preseason.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with the Cincinnati Bengals, with Joe Burrow going down, there's a bigger spotlight on that.
Yeah,
who is the second guy up, all that kind of stuff. But everybody knows that Joey B is the guy in Cincinnati. I think on the other side of the ball, Andy, obviously everybody knows that Jordan Love is next in line to take up the mantle of Rodgers from Favre, from Starr. You know, he's the next guy in the lineage. But this, I think that, this being a road contest for Green Bay, but this means a lot more for Green Bay than it does Cincinnati.
It does.
So that's the reason you're seeing that line go that way. And I do believe that the Packers probably should have this one just because they're going to be doing a lot more stuff on offense. Cincinnati's got a lot more veteran players that have already solidified themselves in the NFL that aren't going to get those reps. So I like the Green Bay Packers, and I would take that point spread with them as well.
All right. You're going to take those. You're going to eat the points there. You're going to eat the juice, drink
for
the juice.
Sure.
In Cincinnati, that's a really good point because, I mean, they're coming off AFC Championship appearance.
And Super Bowl.
And a Super Bowl appearance back-to-back. They're pretty well established, and this is just kind of like we're talking about with the Vikings previously. Their main roster is set. They're just going to be throwing some rookies out there, seeing who's going to make that 53-man roster.
Exactly. And I'm not saying that Jordan Love's going to play all this game. Obviously, he shouldn't.
Right.
But I do believe he's going to get a little action in this game. He's got to you know, he's got to build that chemistry with these guys on the field, and that's this is a really good way for him to do that. So I do believe he's going to play for a little bit in this game, and I think a lot of their playmakers are going to be out there as well.
Now that over under is sitting at 35, much like the first game, it opened up at 32.5, but obviously it's been swelling up, and right now it's at 35.
Yeah, I mean, I would go with the over, Andy.
Same thought,
the same thought process for me. It's just can Cincinnati do their end of it, and I don't know.
And do they want to?
Do they even need to? Yeah. So I'm a little bit more hesitant on this one, but I would still lean on the over.
All righty. Well, let's look at another Friday game, another local team. A lot of our listeners pay attention to the Denver Broncos heading down to Arizona to take on the Cardinals. Now this line opened up once again as a 2.5 point spread with Denver being the favorite, the road favorite. Now it's at 5.5 across the board, wherever you're looking, Denver being the favorite.
Yeah, Andy, and I believe that's probably correct.
Think Sean Payton's just going to want to pour it on.
I think it's his first time out. And I really just like the Denver quarterback situation a lot better than the Arizona one.
Well,
like we talked about in the earlier segment, Colt McCoy is the Arizona guy right now, followed by David Blough, another San Francisco 49er, if I'm not mistaken. But as for Denver, Jarrett Stidham and Ben DiNucci are both well put together backups that really like to sling the ball and score points. So I am on the over on this one. 37.5, give me that. I think this is probably the easiest one of the three that I'm calling on the over. This is the one that I really like. I just like those quarterbacks, and they're going to play the whole entire game. Jarrett Stidham, Ben DiNucci.
Yeah, you have a couple guys that you know what they're capable of, what they can do, and a lot of books still have it at 37. They don't even have the hook. It's not 37.5 yet.
Exactly. In that Cardinals defense, like we said, is projected to be one of the worst in the league. This team is one of the worst in the league. I believe that Denver could pour 35 points on them themselves. So
try and make a statement, and that's kind of been Sean Payton's MO, when there's a spotlight to be had or when people are looking, he kind of shows out, and this is kind of their coming out party, and oh boy, he's been slinging some mud across the media airwaves, and you know, he's going to have to back it up, and here's his first time out Friday night out in the desert.
Yeah, like you said, and you know, like I said, first game there, he made some key moves in free agency. He's going to want to put that out there. This is the first time the Broncos have hit the field. I just really believe that over's going to hit, and they're probably going to cover this spread as well, Andy. I just don't see the Cardinals.
5.5? They're going to cover 5.5 on the road?
I just don't think the Cardinals are going to be able to score. I really don't. So,
Colt McCoy, come on!
I really like the Broncos in this one in the over, so I might even parlay those. The 5.5 spread and the over, I think, are the best two bets. I just don't have any faith in the Cardinals this year, especially now.
Not even in the preseason?
Not even in the and what's worse for the Cardinals, this preseason roster, that's their roster. There's nothing else.
Yeah.
Kyler Murray comes back in week 5, then they get that. But right now, this is the Arizona that they have to look forward to.
Maybe there's a little bit more sense of urgency with Arizona then. You don't know.
Yeah, it could be, but no. Give me the Broncos.
Now, you mentioned their parlay. Are you looking at any type of preseason parlay for these Thursday or Friday games?
You know what, Andy? We got 3 more games to run down for the weekend. I'll give you a parlay after that. So I'm going to make the listeners stick around for the next segment to get that.
Well, let's take a quick minute then to recognize one of our fabulous partners, and that is the Stock and Rod Company, an outdoor lifestyle brand for those seeking adventure. Whether it's hunting, fishing, hiking, they got you covered. Visit Stock and Rod, all one word, to get your wild game on. Don't go in there, folks. This is WTL. Welcome back, everybody, to WTL. Where's the line? Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm your host, Andy Klassen, joined by
Jabron,
the Parlay Pounder.
You got it. You got it.
Yes, and we are getting back into your wheelhouse. Yeah. That is the UFC and UFC Fight Night back at the Apex in beautiful, glitzy Las Vegas on a Saturday night bout. But before we look ahead, let's take a look back.
Yeah.
Talk about some of our hits and misses. And we just had one of those weeks where we did fairly well.
Yeah, for sure, Andy. Like you said, UFC Fight Night in Nashville last weekend.
Yep, yep.
Corey Sandhagen, you know, the big headliner on the card. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We both kind of agreed that he would take this Rob Font fight by decision. Mm-hmm. You know, both have really good chins and everything, but Sandhagen is the better fighter. So I did a two-leg parlay with Sandhagen, and the women's fight before that was Suarez as with a submission.
She really showed her class.
She really did.
Oh my gosh.
Jessica Andre is, you know, kind of on a slate now, but they keep putting her against really good fighters, and that's what's going to happen. So, no, that was a fun two-teamer to hit, and hopefully do the same thing this weekend.
And don't forget, you nailed a parlay. That's not easy to do, even if it's only a two-legger. You also called it by submission, by decision. Those aren't easy picks to make in the UFC.
Yeah, and it gives you a little juice, gives you more plus money if you can do that. So
it was
a lot of fun. You know, didn't sprinkle a lot on there, but like we said in the recording, $25 brought me back $150.
We also talked a little boxing last week, and we nailed that one. Yeah, it was fun, but it kind of played out pretty much what we said.
Exactly.
Jake Paul, like him, love him, hate him, or really hate him. He's more of a boxer than Nate Diaz.
For sure.
Diaz even put him in a headlock.
Yeah, Diaz got a single leg and a choke on him. It would be no doubt that he could beat him in MMA, but it was kind of the way that everybody expected. I was really glad that Nate didn't get knocked out.
Yeah.
Like we
got
said,
knocked down a couple times.
Got knocked down a couple times, but like we said, he has that chin. He's not going to get knocked out. Yep. So it was a fun thing to watch. Obviously, the back and forth banter was there.
Oh, yeah.
It was a fun thing to watch.
I put a poll question out on our YouTube channel on the community tab there. Is Jake Paul now closer to a professional boxer or a joke? And I believe Joke is still winning.
I bet Joke was about 100%. Not a lot of people like him, and now he's talking about fighting Connor and all this kind of stuff. They just don't stop. So, hey, he's making millions and millions of dollars. Yeah. That's what happens. Yeah. So it was fun. It was one of my favorite ones to watch just because we knew that Nate Diaz wasn't going to get knocked out by him.
Yep. It was entertaining, and that's what this is all about.
Yeah.
No matter how you slice it or dice it.
Yeah.
All right, let's get back into the here and now. That is UFC Fight Night back in Las Vegas at the Apex. We're going to look at that main card. Let's work our way up to the main event, and let's start with that light heavyweight bout. Khalil Rountree Jr. taking on Chris Dukas.
Yeah.
And you're looking at Rountree here as a minus 180 favorite.
Yeah. Yeah, Andy. And I say on paper, Dukas is, he's a higher level grappler. I would give the edge on their feet to Rountree. So it's just kind of the way that you want to look at this here, Andy.
Well, these two guys are the number 13 and number 14 contenders in this weight class. So they're close in a lot of regards.
They are. And I think what ultimately this one comes down to is Dukakis chooses to utilize his theoretical grappling edge. So while I like he's coming down to 205, this isn't a matchup in which it's much safer to stand and trade shots with this guy.
No,
you do not want to do this with this. Still, him being the bigger, bigger man in stature, and I give him a little bit more leeway in the striking department against Rountree just because he's the bigger guy. While it's not comfortable making a bet on what a fighter should do, especially when it's not something that he usually does,
because
he does get usually caught up in those, trade backs and stuff, especially in the heavyweight division. It's hard not to. It's a risk that I think I'm willing to take on this one. Dukakis has known before that, he has to know that his job's on the line here. Mm-hmm. They're taking a risk on putting him down a weight class, see if he can get a win. So I think he needs to prioritize the winning and, get this fight on the ground. And if he does that, he guts the fight, and that's a plus money bet that I really like.
Okay. Oh, all right. We're starting out hot here, already going with an underdog. I like the unders on this one because Dukakis wins 92% of his fights by KO or TKO.
Yeah.
Rountree Jr., 73%.
Same thing.
Yeah, 73%. So I don't think this one's going to go to the distance.
Yeah, and you kind of got to look at that, Andy, and you got to like that. But the whole thing is it's under 1.5 rounds. So they give you a real short edge there. But this, like you said, this has the makings of being a one-round fight with these two, you know, explosive guys. So I'm just saying what I think is going to happen because Dukakis really needs to win a fight.
Yeah.
And if he wants to win, I know he can knock the guy out if he needs to. I'm just saying if he's smart, he gets this guy on the ground, wins the fight that way. I like the plus 150 with him.
All right. Well, let's move on up the card here to the featherweight bout.
Yeah.
We're looking at Cub Swanson, the American, taking on Hakeem Dawodu, the Canadian. And the Canadian, big-time favorite here, minus 230.
Yeah. I think we're seeing the beginning of the end for Cubby here.
You've said that before. The guy's like 40.
He's 39.
Okay.
Coming off a really bad loss to Jonathan Martinez, where Martinez finished him with a painful leg kicks. When you're getting finished by leg kicks, I think it's about time to get out of the sport. Before that, though, you know,
I mean, and he's got a 4-inch reach advantage, does Dawodu on Cub. I mean, this just doesn't look good at all.
No, and Dawodu, like I said, should be a faster, more effective striker, as Swanson lunges in way too much on his strikes, I believe, and he leaves himself open to counter strikes. Swanson has a lot of damage on his body. Dawodu will surely use this leg kicks, as Martinez did, Andy.
Yeah.
Swanson's cardio has been getting worse and worse, and Hakeem will have the advantage in that department as well.
So much younger.
Yeah. The first round could be close. I mean, I'm not putting anything against Cub Swanson here, a really, really good UFC fighter.
Well, yeah.
And the first round might be close, but Dawodu will pull away in the second and third round if it goes that far. Like you said, the price is pretty steep for him right now at a minus 250, but if you put that as a parlay piece, I can get behind it as Swanson might be singing his swan song soon.
Yeah, it's really tough to get behind Swanson. I mean, he's got a 4-inch reach disadvantage.
Yeah.
Even the leg reach, he's down 2.5 inches. I mean, there's just, he's got 13 losses on his UFC career. Why, Dawodu is only 13-3 total.
Exactly.
And, you know, there's no wear and tear there.
This is one of those fights that we talk about almost week in, week out. A guy shooting up the ladder, a guy coming down it. Cub Swanson is definitely one of the bigger names on this card because he's been in the sport for so long, and he's a fan favorite because of all the good stuff he's done in the UFC. But this is a guy, this Dawodu, they're trying to get him up the card, trying to get him ranked, all that kind of stuff. And this fight is a cash cow for him.
Yeah, it should be fun, should be entertaining, but give me the youngster out of Canada.
For sure.
All right, let's look at the main event here. Welterweight bout, RDA, Rafael Dos Anjos, taking on Vincent Lecuq, the number 9 and 10 contenders in this weight class. And this is pretty much a coin flip. You got RDA, slight favorite, minus 110, minus 120. Vincent Lecuq sitting there at a plus 100.
Exactly, Andy. And, you know, this is an interesting main event. And, like you said, coin flip. Pretty close in my book, Andy.
Oh, yeah.
I really think this comes down to RDA implementing his wrestling game. If he can close the distance and get Lecuq into a clinch or takedown situation, he should be able to do what Bilal Muhammad did to Lecuq, which was avoid Lecuq's strikes and then take him down to win rounds. If RDA can stack up these rounds, I think he wins the fight. It's just that Vincent's going to be looking for that knockout, he's shown that he can do it.
Yeah, and RDA, he's averaging 2 takedowns per 15 minutes. That's far superior compared to Vincent Lecuq. Just different fighting styles, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And RDA brings more to the table. I also like how he kind of looks like Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, he does.
You know, he's got that stash going, man. That's got to account for something.
He will
here.
Rock you, I believe.
But you're looking at significant strikes, all those type of numbers, those type of metrics. They're leaning towards Lecuq.
Exactly, Andy. But if recent memory serves, Andy, in his last fight, RDA. He kind of got handed a gift in fighting Brian Barberena, which is another guy that, you know, they
knocked the snot out of him.
Right, exactly. But Barberena had no takedown defense, and it really showed against RDA.
Yeah.
And this is a hard fight to predict, but I'll give a slight edge to Lecuq, like you said, as I think he's a little bit better on his feet, which will make takedowns tougher for Dos Anjos the longer the fight goes. I like Lecuq.
All righty. Any little props in there? total rounds, anything like that?
The line on this, Andy, this is the main event fight, so it goes five rounds. The over-under on the rounds is 4.5, so if this is going to go the way that I think it will, Vincent is going to end this a little earlier than the fifth round. So I like the under sitting there at a minus 140. Probably throw that into a parlay.
Well, we're at that time, Mr. Parlay.
Yeah.
Pounder.
Yeah, yeah.
What's your parlay play?
Well, I'm going to go with a three-teamer. I got lucky with a two-teamer. I'm going to go back to a three. I got the under on that fight that we just talked about, Vincent versus RDA at a minus 140 under 4.5 rounds. I got Hakeem Dayewoodu at a minus 230 to beat Cub Swanson.
There you go.
And then I'm taking that underdog, Chris Dekarkis, at a plus 150. You put them all together, Andy, it's a plus 514 parlay. Oh. You're putting $25 on that to win 153.
There you go. There you go. And you only got, what, two underdogs there, slight underdog if you count the main event there.
Yeah, but that the under is still at a minus 140, so they think that that is going to happen. The minus 230 with Hakeem is really what's breaking the bank there. So
blowing that one up.
Yep, exactly. So Dukakis, Dayewoodu, and under 4.5 on the main event. I think it hits. Let's go.
Boom. There you go. There you have it, folks. Straight from the Parlay Pounder
there
himself.
There it is.
Let's take a minute to recognize one of our fabulous partners, and that is the Nebraska Brewing Company. We've been enjoying the smooth and easy-drinking Ale Storm, the official beer of Omaha's AAA baseball team. Crafted with Pilsner malt and Sterling hops, making it the perfect summer baseball beer. Don't go anywhere, folks. This is WTL. Welcome back, everybody, to WTL. Where's the line? Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm your host, Andy Klassen, joined by
Jabron.
Ooh, the Parlay Pounder.
You got it. We're back.
Yes, and we've been talking a lot of NFL because it is back.
It's back.
And we talked a little preseason. We're going to talk some more preseason games. We got some Saturday and Sunday NFL football coming your way. It's preseason. We get it. But guess what? There are betting lines out on it, so we got to talk about it.
If there's lines on it, we're talking about it, people.
And we're going to start with an interesting one here. A couple of L.A. teams. A
couple home teams at home.
Where are they going to play? I bet I can. I bet they play at SoFi. So we're looking at the Chargers taking on the Rams. Now, this is interesting. The line opened up as the Chargers, a 1.5, 1-point favorite.
Yeah.
And now the Rams are a 3-point favorite, really across the book here.
Yeah, Andy, and I don't really know the reason for this. I just think the bookmakers got a lot of money shoving in on the Rams initially or whatever, so it caused that to flip. I don't really think there's a huge reason for this, Andy. Head coach Sean McVay on the Rams side is once again resting all of his starters. Already came out and said it, just as he did last year.
Yep.
Leaves the door open for quarterbacks John Wolford and Bryce Perkins to see a bunch of snaps for the Rams. Meanwhile, on the other side of the ball, quarterback Justin Herbert has never played a single snap in the preseason for the Chargers, and that will continue in this contest. Veterans Chase Daniel, you remember him
he's still in the league.
He's the starting quarterback for the Chargers in preseason. Is he a Missouri guy?
Missouri, yeah.
All the way back in the Big 12 days.
He pretty much got Bill Callahan fired, I believe, when he said when they wouldn't change their defense, that's high school stuff.
That's high school stuff. Yep, I remember that. Him and Easton Stick will see a majority of the playing time. Head coach Brandon Staley recently called the two players co-backup quarterbacks, so didn't give a slight edge to either one of them. So that will be a thing in this game to watch, Andy.
Now, it did open up at a 32.5 over-under. It's gone up to 34.5, so only a 2-point increase. That's to be expected.
Yeah.
Hanging around that 35-point mark, which a lot of these preseason games are.
Exactly, Andy. And I do believe this one I would go a little bit closer on the underside.
Oh.
I really don't see a lot of scoring on this. McVay has never put too much thought into the NFL preseason.
Yeah.
And, you know,
and he's not a big fan
of
it.
And it's worked out so far for him. The Rams, an 0-3 preseason record in 2021 before going to the Super Bowl. So obviously it doesn't really matter to them. While the Chargers may not have Herbert slinging it from the backfield, Daniel has proven to be a reliable NFL quarterback.
He's
still in the league. The 35-year-old has completed 68.2 pass attempts, in his career and all that kind of stuff. So I do believe the Chargers are you know, should get the win here.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm going to take those points, Andy, if they're going to give them to me. So give me that plus three for the Chargers.
All right. Should we look at the Sunday game here?
Let's do it.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
Taking on the New Orleans Saints. Are going all the way down to New Orleans here, yep, for their first preseason game. Opened up at a -1.5 as the Saints, your favorite. That has gone up to a -3, so you don't have the hook yet.
Yeah.
If you're like the Saints, you better get it now, because I wouldn't be surprised if it moves up to 3.5 come kickoff.
Yeah, Andy, and the whole backstory on this line, everybody's like, what? It's the Chiefs, they're the Super Bowl champions, 2 out of the last 3 uh-huh. years. Yeah. It's Derek Carr, new quarterback for the New Orleans Saints, looking to improve his chemistry with new pass catchers in New Orleans. It wouldn't be surprising to see him get the start in the first week of preseason.
Yeah, probably take a series, maybe two.
Exactly. Meanwhile, Andy Reid has typically played his starters for 1 to 2 drives to begin the preseason. So there's a decent chance we get to see Mr. Mahomes here get an opportunity to lead the Chiefs down the field at least one drive. Even with the Chiefs likely being more cautious with their starters than the Saints, I believe the defending champions should come away with the victory here. So I'm going to take that plus money on the money line, Andy,
ooh,
sitting at a plus +135 right now. I think the Chiefs get the job done.
You know, I kind of like Andy Reid's approach to that, where he'll put his starters on the shelf towards the end of the second and third game.
Yeah.
But he'll give them a series or two in the first game, you know, if nothing else, just to knock the rust off, you know, work in a couple new run packages, whatever the case may be. And when that happens, Mahomes is going to score in, what, 5-7 plays like he did last year?
And like you're saying, it's not crazy. They're just going out there. Nobody's looking to hurt anybody anyways. Mm-hmm. Get Kelce a couple catches.
Yep.
Get those playmakers on the outside a couple catches. A really good thing, what you were just saying to back that up, Reid has produced a 44-46 record in preseason throughout his coaching career. However, Reid has won 5 of his last 6 preseason matchups in the last 2 seasons with the Chiefs. So you can tell that this team takes it a little bit more serious than prior teams we're talking about.
Yeah, and the Saints, talking about that over-under, you know, is sitting at there at 38 points now, a little inflated compared to some of the other totals we're looking at.
Yeah.
But they have so many great young weapons on offense.
No doubt.
And you talk about Carr will probably get a series, maybe 2, maybe even 3, depending how this thing works out.
Yep.
So when you add a veteran quarterback who I think is pretty darn good in Carr.
For sure.
With some of these young pass catchers, Chris Olavalea, you know, these guys.
And if Michael Thomas comes back.
Yep. Yeah, I think New Orleans could stack some points up here.
Yeah.
So I'm even looking at the over. You still can find it at 37.5.
Yeah, Andy, that's a very good bet, especially when you look at the Chiefs. Once Mahomes exits the game, it's a combination of Blaine Gabbert, which is a very solidified starter in his time with the Jacksonville Jaguars and San Francisco 49ers. So I really like the over in this one as well, Andy.
Yeah, yeah. Gabbert had some success at all of his stops.
For sure.
And he's moved into that backup role for Kansas City, and he knows the playbook. So, yeah, there should be some points scored, as there typically is in a Kansas City Chiefs game or a New Orleans Saints game. Now we have them scoring off against each other.
Exactly, Andy. And a little nugget that I want to throw in there. If anybody finds this, I just caught it here. The Chiefs team total is over 17.5 points. I think that hits easy.
Yeah.
It's at a plus 100 right now, so it's still at plus money. I would jump all over that. Like I said, I think Mahomes gets them at least 7, and then the rest of the game to get 2 more scores, I think they got it.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun game. I think there's going to be a lot of offense.
It'll be fun.
All right, another Sunday game. We're looking at the San Francisco 49ers taking on the Las Vegas, right? The Las Vegas Raiders. New look Raiders at that. This line opened up at 3.5, and it's pretty much stayed right there. Some books have it at a -4 as San Francisco is your favorite.
Yeah, and I think that's correct, Andy. It's just that they kind of got that material built up as they can win about any game that they want to with the team that they play with. Jimmy Garoppolo, formerly of the San Francisco 49ers, is now the starter for the Raiders. Unlikely to play this week. Could sit out the entire preseason after missing OTAs and minicamp because of his broken left foot.
Yeah.
This means we may see a whole lot of rookie quarterback Aiden O'Connell and Chase Gabbers. And the third and fourth stringers behind backup Brian Hoyer. So the Raiders do have, you know, a capable backup in Hoyer. It's just
You're going to see some young guys first.
Yeah.
Probably.
The thing with the Raiders is that it seems that they do take the preseason a little bit more serious. The Raiders have won 6 of their last 7 preseason games, including all 4 last summer under head coach Josh McDaniels. Mm-hmm. So is that a coincidence? I don't know. Like we said, this preseason football, it's hard to get everything, lined up here in the first week.
The 49ers got to be careful with their quarterbacks.
I mean,
it seems like they're just always hurt all the time. I mean, who's their projected starter, did you say?
I would say that Sam Darnold is probably going to be the starter here. It would be crazy to me if they run Trey Lance out there and play him right now, especially if they think that he's going to start. No, I would say Sam Darnold, and then Brandon Allen behind him should get most of the snaps. I'm not going to say Trey's not going to play at all because he needs to play.
Mm-hmm.
He's that young of a player and doesn't have a lot of reps under his belt.
Exactly.
But I just don't know with how fragile that he seems to be if they'll run him out here. So I would expect Sam Darnold and Brandon Allen. Sam Darnold, a big reason I think the 49ers will capture this win.
How about that total? You've been hammering the overs. This opened up at 37.5, and it actually went down, trended down. It's at a square 36, really across any book you're looking at here.
Yeah.
And that kind of goes against the grain compared to all the other games we've looked at, where it opens up at a 34, 32.5, and then it climbs up a little bit.
Yeah.
This has gone in the other direction.
Yeah, no, I do still think the under's the play here, Andy. It's a lot different from every other one. Defenses are typically ahead of offenses early in the summer, especially with teams like this. Garoppolo won't play, like we said. Josh Jacobs won't play. Davante Adams won't play. And Kyle Shanahan on the other side of the ball will take a likely similar approach, considering also that the 49ers have gone under the total in their last 7 preseason games. I'm sticking with that trend, the under. So give me the under. That's one of the only times you'll ever hear me say that.
Hey, you're pulling out some stats, though, to back it up.
For sure.
So you got to like that.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, that'll about do it for us this week, folks.
For
Be sure to follow us over on ESPN Tri-City Radio, their Facebook page, all those short videos on the reels there. Twitter, of course, we like to put out content on Twitter each and every week. Whether it's betting lines or just polls, we have a lot of fun on that platform. And then, of course, our YouTube channel. We just eclipsed 2,000 subscribers.
Yes, yes.
How much fun. Thank you to everyone that's subscribe to that.
Yeah, go check that out. Like us, follow us, subscribe to us. It's a lot of fun. We love putting that stuff out there for you guys. So help us grow even more.
Yep, and the more subs we get, the more things we can do with that channel. That's just kind of how it works. And we're also over on TikTok for all you TikTokers with those free daily picks. For Jabron, the Parlay Pounder, I'm Andy Klassen. Thank you for listening. This has been WTL.
Nebraska Public Media Sports brings you live all-day coverage of the NSAA High School Football Championships on Monday, November 24th and Tuesday, November 25th. Watch all day, both days, on Nebraska Public Media or live stream every game on Nebraska Public Media's YouTube channel.
The holidays mean more travel, more shopping, more time online, and more personal info in more places that could expose you more to identity theft. But LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, our U.S.-based restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Don't face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or financial losses alone. Get more holiday fun and less holiday worry with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/podcast. Terms apply.